joining us in studio. It's our friend, the talented writer, Anne Britting Olson. Anne, welcome back.
Hello.
Nice to have you here with us again.
Well, it's really cool to be here, and it's really cool to have my lead-in music be James Brown, especially since my ex-husband used to sing that for the National Guard. Isn't that strange?
Really? Yeah. Well, I hope it doesn't bring back bad memories.
Oh, it's all right. Wow. It's all good.
Carrie somehow sensed that and said, I'll get her.
Well, I called her the hardest working woman in show business. I think Carrie was paying attention.
Yeah, but I feel pretty good. It's okay.
All right, good. Glad you. Well, you should. You've been very productive. Two books. So you've got another novel and a collection of poetry.
Well, it's a poetry chapbook, so small collection, yes. But yes, the new novel came out last September, and the poetry chapbook came out at the end of National Poetry Month. How convenient.
That's very convenient. Well, tell us about Dovecote.
Okay. This is my scary book.
Mm.
Okay. The first thing that I will tell you is that when I am depressed, I look at property listings in the United Kingdom.
Okay.
Okay. That's usually about my period four study hall at school. And I happened across one that had, it was a two up, two down cottage on the seaside and had a blue door. And so the entire part one of Dovecote is called Blue Door. Mm. And I've set this entire story in that house that I saw.
Just from the listings. Nice.
Well, conveniently, I happened to have been in that particular village.
Did you know the house?
I had seen the house from the outside because I'd been to the pub across the street. So I kind of, stop laughing at me. Precisely. Yes, yes. But the pub across the street does make its way into this story, but I roughed it up a bit.
Sure.
And the publican is not a very nice man at all. In fact, he ends up becoming the villain, surprisingly. Mm. But there's historical context. The house has been inherited by a woman who was named after her great aunt, who in fact left her this property, but they had never met. And it turns out that the great aunt was an incredibly unhappy woman, and my main character, whose name is Gwyneth, spends most of her time trying to discover precisely why this woman was so dreadfully unhappy. Mm. And there's lots and lots of complications, because complications are good. Ask Bruce, he knows.
One of the other things, though, Anne, is that so many people don't realize you can look at something and decide that it's something else, you know? And so many people think fiction always springs from real experience. No, it springs out of your head. Something may trigger it, but it springs out of your head. And, you know, your poems are always so imaginative that I'm not surprised that you would look at something and end up with a novel out of it. I mean, that happens.
Well, it suddenly occurred to me when I finished this particular manuscript that I spend all my fiction writing time placing people in houses that I have driven by or walked by. But that's a good house. I could make a really good story with
what
some people
kind
in
of
it.
People would live there?
They're always troubled and frequently dangerous.
That's good. That makes for a good story.
You know, I try.
I was talking to another poet, you know, Valerie Lawson, this past weekend, and Valerie made a really great point and said that, you know, a lot of times novelists, when they talk to poets, envy the poet's toolkit. And, you know, as both a novelist and a poet myself, I feel that the most important thing novelists could do is read more poetry, especially novels I read today. And I think a lot of that's lost because I think poetry relies so much more on imagination than anything else.
Well, it's funny that you should say that because our mutual friend, Richard Hoffman.
Yeah. Yeah. Great guy.
Once upon a time said in a conversation to me that there isn't poetry and prose. There's verse and prose because poetry exists in both verse and prose.
Yeah.
And it's the way of using the language. It's the way of playing with the words.
I love Richard. He's so smart.
Isn't he, though?
Yeah, a mentor to both of us. Yeah, really.
You approach this with such a level of dedication and commitment, though. And how long has it been since you have been adhering to your own standards of being a writer on a daily basis?
Let's see. Today would be 7 years, 20 days where I submit to small magazines, large magazines, large publishers at least once a day. And that's in addition to the actual writing, because as people such as your cohort Bruce knows, you have to do it every day. It's, in the end, it's your job.
Right, right.
And when it's the only thing you really wanted to do because you're madly in love with all the words, then probably you should get out of your own way and do it.
Yeah, and, you know, you run into people all the time and say, well, I didn't get anything published last year because they sent three stories to the New Yorker and waited 3 months and got rejected like 9 million other people, and because they don't do the homework to find the venues and they don't do it every day. I mean, writing is something you've got to do some of it every day.
That's true. And of course, if you want to be a person with an audience, you do have to submit.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not every day, but you have to do it fairly regularly so that eventually you do develop that audience because you do get those publications. But it's funny that you should mention the New Yorker, because that was my very first ever rejection slip.
Did you save it?
It's the only one I've ever saved. I actually framed it because... when I got that, they were still doing the embossed half sheet. Now they do it all through email.
Oh,
you never see paper.
Yeah.
But I figured that since the industry average is 1 out of 10 submissions are accepted, and that includes all the people who are just starting who are getting nothing and all the people who are famous who are getting everything. I figured since my first was going to be absolutely a rejection, I would get the best rejection I knew how to get. And so I sent it to the New Yorker and got my rejection and framed it. And it sits over my desk. It's been over my desk for 35 years.
My first was from Constance Hunting up at Pucker Brush Review that said, "These are three interesting stories, but I fear you might be a novelist."
Don't know where to stop, yes, do you? Yeah.
That was her point. And at that point, it was so well taken. It was great advice.
Ann Brading Olson with us here on Data. Do you find yourself often, do you carry around a notebook? Do you jot down ideas constantly?
Oh, yes. It's in the car.
How good are you at writing while you're driving? I've gotten pretty good at that.
She's very safe.
I'm very safe, and I don't look while I'm writing, while I'm driving, so that there's nothing on lines.
All right, and I can
it
never
just
read
sort of
it, right?
Goes everywhere. But yeah, and then I get home, and it's like, what the heck is this even?
This means something.
I'm sure it was the one that was going to make my fortune.
Now, what is the poetry collection? That's Alley of Dreams?
Yes, indeed it is. Ah. That was the noise of me flipping over my books.
It was good.
Yes, and this is again, it started out with The House with the Blue Door. And there is, in fact, a piece in there called My Love Lives Behind a Blue Door. And it's totally imaginative, but it plays mind games because in the beginning, the narrator is imagining the person who lives in the house. And by the end, there's a flip. So the person who lives in the house is imagining the narrator.
Now, is there a common thread in the poems in this collection?
In Alley of Dreams, these are again, dark and scary.
Fantastic.
So, raw. Yes, I also have a pair of friends that I go to visit every summer in the west of England on the Welsh borders. And the Welsh borders are exceedingly dark and haunted because the Black Mountains tower over everything, and they tell you all about the marauders from Wales, and they still seem to live in the past, like the marauders are going to come and get them, like, after supper tonight. And
they'll be right there with the IRA. We're coming.
I know. But whenever I go, Roger and Julia take me to look at ruinous things.
Perfect.
Bruce, there's one in particular that you would absolutely adore. It's just over the border into Wales, and it's called Llanthony Priory. And it is a priory that was demolished hundreds and hundreds of years ago, but not because of Henry VIII. The monks themselves did it because they moved out and they didn't want anybody to use it, so they trashed the whole place. But they left a tower. And over the past 40 years, the tower itself has been outfitted and used as a music recording studio.
Oh, I'd love to go. I went to Yates's Tower in Galway, so I would love to do that.
And so they took me there. That shows up in here. But all the Black Mountains and the marauding Welsh and the Hound of Hergest, for crying out loud, comes out here.
So, Anna, for eager readers, where can they get their hands? Not on one, but on both of these newest books.
Okay, well, Dovecot is at a lovely bookstore near you, and if they do not have it in stock, they can order it very easily. Some bookstores that have been always very kind to me tend to be the small independent ones.
That's great.
They're my friends. And Alley of Dreams at present is only available from the publisher or from me. So if you want to come to my house and buy one from me, you can do that. You can find me.
That's good. Bruce knows how to get there.
I know how to get there now.
You got directions.
Fantastic. Right next to the antique store.
And thank you. It was always good to see you again.
And who's the publisher?
The publisher of the chapbook is Claire Songbird's Publishing from upstate New York. And the publisher for Dovecot is B Inc. Publishing from Northern California.
Yep. Excellent. Those are both good independent publishers.
Thanks, Ann.
Okay. Thank you for letting me come.
Of course.
And wax strange.
Anytime. You're always welcome. It's 4:31.
Okay. All right. Well, just plan. I've got another novel coming out next April. So
perfect.
Plan, put me in the book.
It's on the calendar as we speak. I'm writing it down.